Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
to Sweet Discussions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Sweet Pea, and this is my little time here. I am with All Poetry. AllPoetry.com is the web's largest poetry community where you can read poetry by thousands of poets from around the world. You can improve your poetry through feedback, get your own little fan club going, also join my little group here on All Poetry, which is a team of voices run by Deborah Lee, and our group of board of directors, which is also joined by several wonderful poets. We like to discuss, talk, run our poems through the mill, but most of all, just get together as friends and come on out, talk about our poetry. We have several shows throughout the week. If one would strike your fancy, come on, talk to us, call us up. We'd love to talk. Tonight, we're going to talk about a series of horror writers with our subject being Clive Barker. We'll talk a little about Clive in a minute. First, I'd like to talk about the song you heard, which is The Words I Cannot Say, written by Jay Hatter, one of Team of Voices' great poets and board of directors, sung by Chow Even Chai. If you'd like to know more about him, please join us at Team of Voices on All Poetry. What an incredible poet he is. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into my studio and say hello to Mr. Rackentor. Hello, Rackentor. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
And for some discussions.
Ready for some discussions? And I believe right behind you is Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hello, A.P. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm going to give a really brief synopsis on Mr. Clive Barker. He's an English novelist, playwright, author, film director, and also very much a visual artist, well-known in the comic book world. He's done quite a few things. Short story series in the 1980s established him as a leading horror writer, which is the Books of Blood. He also, his first installment, wrote and directed Candyman, which, is one of my favorite people's, Sky's favorite series of things. She just loves Candyman. But, of course, his biggest thing known to the horror world is, of course, Hellraiser, the Great Pinhead, who is an ultimate standby, just like you have, Freddy Krueger and Jason. Pinhead is right up there with them. But he is also the executive producer of one of the great films out there and won an Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay, which is the film Gods and Monsters. So he's not all just about, you know, things that go blue in the dark. If you've never seen Gods and Monsters, I would highly recommend it. That's actually a really good movie. But I put some quotes up on my topic for tonight that are absolutely stunning and fabulous. And those are just some of the ones that I had to dwindle myself down to, but I thought they were really pretty amazing. And, from the response I got so far, this evening, I was very happy because I'm quite sure that everyone knew who he was. Everybody got a general idea from, you know, what we were talking about. And so, AP, do you know of Mr. Clive Barker?
Well, I have to say, of all the genres, Sweet, the one that I have to say I am weakest at is the world of darkness. I've never sort of got into the world of darkness before. I've only really started in the last month, and so I only know as much as what you have told me. How's that?
Okay. Good to know. Now, but I know you know who Pinhead is.
Yes, I do.
You do. And I'm sure you have heard of God and Monsters.
Yes, I have. I have. Okay. You have to be hidden under a rock not to have heard of Gods and Monsters. Yes.
But I bet you didn't associate them with the horror writer Clive Barker. Or nor maybe you never associated the God and Monsters.
Not at all.
Was the same guy that wrote Hellraiser. Because why would you?
Well, why not?
I mean, you
sort of have a character that's got sort of nails coming out of there. It's only a short run to put just about anything else on that scares the living crap out of people, isn't it, really?
Really, and I would beg to differ with you, as you say, that you have the genre of not knowing, because you are an avid Poe person.
I am. This is true.
Yeah.
When it comes to Poe, you've got me. Yeah, no, absolutely. Poe's a dark poet.
So, yeah. So I would say that you may be not modern, but, with your Shelleys and your Poe and your,
Poe, yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, no, I'm okay. I mean, it's, you want to take me 100 years ago and, you know, start chopping fingers off and, you know, curling toes and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, no drums at all.
All right, so we're good. And, of course, next week we're doing King, so I think you're going to be a star at him. So
King's fine.
Okay.
King's middle of the road. So King is yeah. you know, just put all your debt out and run over him with semi-trailers. You know, he's fine.
Right. But he also has, like, the great stuff, like the Green Mile.
Yes, true.
You know.
Very true.
Shawshank Redemption.
Very true.
I mean, he's just, you know, right.
Yeah. Brilliant film. Uh-huh.
So,
absolutely. Great writer.
Brilliant. Yes. So, and Raconteur. Clive Barker, your thoughts on him?
I always enjoy Clive Barker. I was going to quip when you first came on the air that, you know, are you ready to go Clive? But, you know.
He's ready to go Clive, yeah.
Yes, yes. That's kind of, you know, a little memory mnemonic to remember his name. Because he was never a carnival barker, but, you know, I'm sorry. I enjoy his work. I really do. You know, before Pinhead, there was Candyman. And unfortunately, before Pinhead, there was a comic strip called Zippy the Pinhead. So when I hear Pinhead, that's usually because I can't see. That's where my mind goes. So, mm-hmm. you know, different Pinhead entirely, but, you know, I like what he did with it. A little better than Zippy, in fact. And then the whole steampunk look, too, you know, of that
oh, yeah.
creature. That's absolutely,
very,
you know.
Very cool. Very cool.
Puts a nice little bow
really
on that. Yeah.
I do. I love the, yeah, for all the horror dresses, I think that Pinhead definitely does
the aesthetic,
dress
yeah.
He does have that nice, classic, lovely, you know, dress about him, and his leather is always prompt and, you know, beautiful.
I think
so
you get away with
blending
and turn around and scare the bejesus out of you.
Well, you know, his head has some problems, but and there's new Hellraiser out, you know, which is kind of interesting. So we have all of that going on. So let's see. Are you on the run, Mr. AP? Are you up and on the run and have to run around?
I am a little bit, sweet. I am a little bit, but I did have one of the quotes that did appeal to me quite considerably. Which is always nice when that happens. So if you're and I think it was the first one you actually put up, which is always a nice place to be, because you know you can always start the first one, you know, and you know have a poem on that. And I put it up only a whole 4 minutes ago, so you know it hasn't been around for long. It's sort of a very
all right. Well, if you want to go first, that's fine. Or if you want to wait a few minutes, because I know Deb's going to call, I have one that I can throw up and start the show. I don't need a lot of comments. You know, it's my show. If you want to wait for Deb, if you're not rushing, we can do that. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You know.
No. I'm happy if I can make my technology work, which of course is, you know, always a bit of fun to actually throw it up on the board, and I'm like you. I just like doing the poem and doing the stuff, you know. I don't need shitloads of comments.
Well, Jay doesn't want you to throw up, so just go ahead and put it on the board and we're good to go.
Okay. Righto. Well, here goes. Now, this is in
all
response
right.
to the first prompt that you put by Clive Barker, which is, horror fiction shows us that the control we believe we have is purely illusory, and that every moment we teeter on chaos and oblivion. Yeah? And this is called Secrets No More, and I'll explain the background to this in a tick once I've read it. It goes a little bit like this. I have this record, and I bought it yesterday, as details about your history, medical staff could choose to display confidential procedures, which I'm sure you don't want shared, spread over the internet, and no, nothing will be spared. Not the time when a teenager or the embarrassing moment years ago. You bet every single incident I will place so people know. So yes, I want a ransom, but it's from the company we hacked. Their decision is whether to pay, the odds against you stacked. As if they don't pay, you bet that I will bear every single memory you've had, and at the photos some will stare. Yet, and if they do pay, what stops another after I, grabbing your file now public domain and exposing it so others can pry? The answer is nothing, babe. Welcome to where data is unfurled. On every once private corner, your secrets are thrown to the world. In poem.
Wow.
And you claim not to be familiar with this.
So much for HIPAA. wow. You know, this is very, very interesting because we sign, I mean, just from my perception is what I do or did for a living for a very long time. between the triplicate documents that we literally have people sign in secrecy and contracts and HR and HIPAAs and all of that, and then we blast it into a cloud and scan it, and then we put it in an antiquated folder. Yet people are stealing data left and right, black markets, companies, we've got literally teenagers stealing data, holding towns hostages and saying, you're going to pay me or I'm going to splatter this all over the internet, when in reality, we don't have anything private, no matter what we say we have, because there are people out there holding companies ransom. And so if you don't want it to be, don't make it be. So even us, you know, if you don't want your poetry out there, don't pretend that it ain't going to be out there. Because words are words and words are sexy. But I think this is fabulous because you never know who might get a hold of your words and put them out there. Because it's going to happen at some point. And I think that's probably the horror of, you know, what did your, what is that old saying that they used to say, don't talk to your grandmother unless you want on the front page of the paper. Don't say anything you wouldn't want your grandma to read on the front page of the paper. I think was what I was told as a young girl, yeah. And I think that this is just kind of symbolizes that thing. So this is pretty brilliant. Medical stuff no one could choose to display. Yeah, my heart, all kinds of things. But yeah, this is pretty brilliant.
Just to explain the background, the biggest private health insurer in Australia has been hacked in the last week.
Lovely.
And 3.7 million people's health data has been apparently accessed by this hacking group out of one of the old blocks that I won't mention in terms of countries. And they are almost certainly seeking a substantial ransom as we speak. And I would be stunned if they don't pay it, but that may not be the end of this by a long shot.
And the point is, you know, if you give in to these bullies, like you said, what's going to happen next time around? I mean, I feel bad for the company. I really feel bad for the company because if you don't pay, and if you do pay, your patients are going to screw you because they got in. And
that's it.
You're gonna get sued because they got in, and then if you do, and either way, it doesn't matter. So I wouldn't pay them anyway. That's my personal professional advice. Don't pay them because you're gonna get screwed either way.
I'm with you, Sweet. We had an incident similar to this at one of my businesses, and things were down for 6 weeks while we restored, and we didn't pay. But apparently, according to the people who know about this stuff, It's more people now pay than don't pay is apparently where things move.
Stop him in your tracks. Go ahead. You're going to do it. I'll take care of my people that you screwed over. That's all there is to it because, you know, I'd rather spend the money on the people that you're hurting than
yeah.
satisfy you
no,
in any
I'm
way.
With you. Not with you. I'm with you completely. I agree.
Yeah. Because either way, you're going to need the money to take care of the people you hurt, yeah. Sorry, Brack. Go ahead. Your thoughts on this.
No, I was going to say that the scary thing about that idea is what they do with the information that they have, because the more and more that they dig and get into, the more creative they get, because one thing begets another. Like if they may have your medical data, that's just on the surface. So they could sell it to somebody and use it for identity theft. There's so many different things that these people do. And the other idea is and I don't know who stole it from whom, but, you know, they have one of the computer viruses actually encrypts your hard drive, and then you get a message that if you want to get your data back, you have to pay us to decrypt it. Otherwise, you can't get your own data on your machine. It's this game, you know, is centered around the idea of exactly what you wrote the quote to. You know, you think you have control. We'll show you what control is.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's really quite insidious. And it all hinges on your fear of what they're going to do with it, like you said. And if you don't pay, what's to stop someone else from you know, saying, well, you know, this is what we're going to do with it, and you're one-upping the other people. So, you know, it's crazy. It really is. And I don't know what recourse you actually have. You know, I know the FBI gets involved because, you know, once it's on the Internet, that becomes, you know, an international thing. FBI's in Australia, right?
No. Well, we've got our own federal police, but the problem is this is the second or third of these that we've had in the space of a few weeks. Yeah, so we had the second biggest telecommunications company get hacked. For example, I know that my driver's license data has been breached, and so I've gone on to the roads people here in Victoria and ordered a new license, but because tens of thousands of people have had their license data breached, they can't even tell you how long it's going to take to get a new one.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing in the United States. My Social Security is public knowledge. My taxes are public knowledge. My address is public knowledge. If you want my identity, you can take it so easily. That's what a lot of people are like, well, you got to hide this. Why? Pull up my tax records. You can find anything. I bought a house. You can find anything.
Yeah, it's inconvenience of what they do with your identity.
Yeah, we don't have that. You can't actually find here that information unless somebody breaches it, so which they have.
I'm just saying, in the United States, it's so easy. I mean, you can pull up my birth record.
No,
you can pull up where I was born.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, granted, the Internet's made it easier, but if you want to do the work, you can go do the work. And as always they say, you know, I got a new heart a few years ago, so if you want to pull my, steal my identity, all you're going to do is improve my world. So a heart costs a lot of money.
Oh, I'm with you all the way. Sweet, you know, heart's not a cheap thing. But we're all getting, well, you know, we had the falsehood that our data was, you know, sitting somewhere and not out there, but that's all gone now.
And it's sad. What it does for me is it's sad, but I think that the more you encourage by paying people is the more people are encouraged to commit the crime. I that's just my thought process, but.
Yes, I agree with you.
It's not even the money that they hold hostage. There was an incident a long time ago. One of the guys that wrote SpinRite, Gibson, I think was his name. He made a comment about the people that do those types of things, and he called the hacker a script kiddie, which is really insulting because it's like, you're very unoriginal. You didn't do anything. You just took, you know, code off of somebody else to do what you do. And the kid promptly launched a denial of service attack against him and shut down his business for a couple of years. So, you know, he was able to prevail because, you know, this is what is meat and potatoes, and it would be embarrassing if he couldn't put the kid in his place. But, you know, the point is, you know, it was on an off-the-cuff comment, and it wasn't even well, it was monetary in the sense that he went after his business. So it's not even like, you know, I want your checkbook. It's, you know, I'm going to kill your reputation. I'm going to knock off your customers. I'm going to stop you from being able to do business and you know, successfully, you know, interfere with this man's life and turn everything upside down. And that was just on an off-the-cuff comment in a chat room.
Well, we had a similar thing happen only yesterday, Rack, because the – Australian Institute of Company Directors and a very organized body and stuff, got people together on a video con to talk about a hacking and the recent hacking attempts. And then, you know, go governance and so nobody could get in. And then they put a link on the chat wall to a false way to get into the conference. So the people needed to pay money to do it. So people promptly started dumping their credit cards and got docked. The thing that people took the there was a real live example of, you know, people getting policed.
One of the most clever things I heard that they did involved Google rankings. When you go and you Google a phone number, the guy hacked the Google rankings so that his listing would come up above the actual listing. And who did he choose to do it? He did it to the Secret Service. So if you Google the phone number for the Secret Service, you came up with his number. And what he did was he recorded the conversation, but he forwarded it to the correct number. So you got the proper party, and the conversation was completely legit. It's just he had access to both ends of the conversation. So he hacked them without actually breaching the Secret Service. He just breached Google by playing with something as innocent-looking as Google rankings. So, you know, this guy found out about it, he actually went to report it, and they didn't believe him until he showed them. And Google promptly tried to close the loop and then, you know, did nothing about it. They ignored the Secret Service. It was crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's all I've got, sweetie. I'm just a little...
Well, what you brought was amazing.
And scary.
Because that's just not control. Yeah, it is scary. Very much so. I like it.
Yep.
The things horror movies can be made of.
Thank you. I will leave you to scare the proverbial out of everybody. Sweet. So have a great show.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Nice.
Okay. Thanks.
So I could use Google Images to find AP's surgery records.
Yes. We can find AP surgery records because that's what we all want to see. I don't think so.
Yes, that's definitely worth blackmailing
I've seen enough of that hand surgery where he cut himself and on the file. No, I know. There's only so much you want to know about it. I don't want to know about the bunions on AP speed. I'm good with it.
Hemorrhoids, no.
No, that's just more than anyone needs to know.
How about instead of broadcasting your information, putting false information inserted into it?
His false pregnancies? Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. You didn't know AP was – AP terminated a pregnancy last year.
Oh, good Lord. He's not on the phone. He can't defend himself. We can't do that. Sorry, AP.
Yeah.
Only can do that when they're on the phone. Yes.
All right.
Yes. That's all you can do. No more. Because, you know, that's not fair.
Imitation is not imitating, but.
Yeah. Flattery or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Not talking about. But we're not.
Wrong quote.
I think there's something different. Yeah, wrong quote. Yes, wrong quote. Where are you, Hatter? I know you were on the board. Why am I not hearing your pretty little voice? Hatter. Well, I have two poems from Stephen. Yeah, I have two poems from Stephen. And I'm going to play, because I'm doing this show. going to play my favorite that I, well, I ask him. Okay, oh, that's cool. I was talking about in 60 Minutes went to Hawaii, confronted a senator about his phone and how it could be hacked. When a colleague in California, they proved his phone could be hacked. That's pretty cool. I am going to put down one of Stephen's poems because it is one of my favorite poems that he read a long time ago, and I actually asked him to bring it. So
welcome.
I'm going to put the phone down, the poem up, and the audio, and enjoy this. Heather, I'm waiting on you. But it's very cute poem. So let me do this. I'm doing everything myself now. So we all know how that happens when PP's and when Sweet Pea, that would be me, is in charge of everything. Everybody has to run away. Oh no. All right. Here we go. Whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. Oh good Lord. Oh good Lord. Help. No, that's not what we want. No, we don't want that one. That's not what we want yet. Oh, this is not so good. See what happens? This is what happens when I get left by myself. It's like there's
I'm alone.
People are like, "What is she doing? Why did they let her out?" You know, I'm really good at the one part, but not the other part. And they're like, "What is she doing? Why does somebody let her do this?" Oh, you're like, "Well, isn't it lucky she's pretty?" No, I'm pretty smart. I promise I am. I'm just not coordinated.
But you're one of the coordinators, aren't you?
No, I'm on board of directors, not a coordinator. There's a big difference. I'm not a coordinator. I'm board of directors. Do you not understand the difference? I get to ask people very kindly, can you help me coordinate this? Because otherwise I would be like lost. Be like, ah. All right, so now I put the poem on the board. There it is, everybody. Please read it. It's just lovely. And then now I press the button. Yes. All right. Here we go. I love this little thing.
White Pandora by Stephen 76. Too much jealousy in this world, especially for you, a lovely pearl. Open the box, my dear. I will take you to a place. A place with no apples and no witches to face. There you'll be forever wrapped in pleasure and pain. Leave earthly needs behind you. Enjoy the devil's reign. End poem.
Now, you got to understand. And I'll explain it to Rex. Because Rex is a blind guy, for those of you that don't know. So, this is the photo prompt. Is Pinhead giving a lovely little box to Snow White.
Oh, nice.
So open the box, my dear. Open the box, my dear. I will take you to a place with no apples and no witches to face. There you will be forever, wrapped in pleasure and pain. Leave earthly needs behind you. Enjoy the devil's reign. I love this. I love White Pandora. I think this is just beautiful. I have found this to be one of my favorite little poems. I don't know, but I finally can put it on my list because I read it, or I had Stephen, I heard Stephen read this, like, a few years ago, and it's always been on my mind. I tell people about it. Oh, a friend of mine wrote this poem about Snow White and Pinhead, and I really like it. But I could, you know, and then when I did the show, it was one of the first things I thought of. I was like, oh, I got to ask Stephen about this poem. And bam, here it is. And so I really appreciate you, Stephen, that you brought it so that it could be read to me again. And it just makes me laugh every single time. And I think it's so brilliant. And it just is, it's great. So, Mr. McIntyre, your thoughts?
I just want to say, be careful what you wish for, huh? no more apples. Well, I guess it could be worse. And as if to prove a point, Pinhead was up with the box. Yeah, that's
right.
Really very well done. My kind of thinking, I like things like that where, you know, you take something in a direction that nobody's thinking right away, you know, and he's true to his word, you know. There's no witches, no apples. Although maybe that's what's in her hell is the witches and the apples. And anyway.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot, Stephen. That was very well done. It shouldn't have been longer. It shouldn't have been shorter. It was exactly perfect and exactly to the point and horrible, scary.
I do. I happen to really enjoy that one.
I can see why.
Wrong. I know it is.
It's
probably wrong, but I can't help myself.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's perfectly fine. It's fine that you're sick and twisted. It's okay. I can be sick and twisted as much as I
want. People have done well with Snow White, believe me.
I know, I'm one of them. I really have. I've been really
well,
awful.
There you go. I attacked the seven dwarfs, so.
Yeah, I know. I've been there too while you've done that. So, but Mr. Brilliance is also, you know, he brought me another poem. That was just, you know, for my deliciousness and liking and did all of those wonderful things for me. So,
took another bite of the apple.
He did. Mr. Stephen always, you know, he's so supportive. Him and Kay over at Poetic Slice. And yeah, Poetic Slice. They're always very supportive and such amazing writers too. So he did bring me another one. And I am going to put that on the board. And put up.
Boy, everybody's sitting on the board.
That. I know. Isn't that awful?
No.
Behave yourself. It is not Sunday.
Yes.
The holy day of the week.
I didn't even
so
bring
we're
up
roll into. I know. So this is Stephen 76. His poem is on the reading board. And we are going to go in and play this. And here we go.
This was written to the Pink Floyd song, Hey You. And the title is actual lyrics from the song. So I call this, And the Worms Ate Into His Brain, by Stephen 76. Knee-hugging in the cold darkness of a sunny afternoon, tottering naked skin touching the rough fabric of the garage sale-bought chair. Dilated pupils focused on the silence, screaming from the rotary dial telephone. Ear vacuumed to the ice-covered metal siding, hearing the poached, breathy groan of the bargain barn box spring. And the only primrose path found, puddled upon a gelid limestone step. End poem.
This is fabulous. First and foremost, I have to say, I cannot believe I did not, I've actually heard this poem before, and I did not write a comment on this poem. And I absolutely am appalled at myself, Stephen, because I laughed so hard at the picture on this poem. I actually forgot to leave a comment because, A, the poem is brilliant. And I know that you're on the radio when we were talking about this. And it heard me laugh so hard. I can't believe that I actually didn't leave. I was laughing so hard I did not leave the comment, and I apologize. But ear vacuumed against the ice-covered metal siding, hearing groan of the bargain barn box spring, and the only primrose path found puddled upon the gilded limestone step. That is some fabulous writing. It's just the imagery is so...
Vivid.
Like chalkboard nails. Yeah, it's so like you can just be there. There's no, it is like slice knife imagery. It's just right there. The language is so pristine and precise, and it just really, you cannot get a better tone, a better clarity. It's disgusting and raw, but it's there, and that is just a praise to your writing. I really am bowing to it. But the little man falling on his knees, yeah, I am really awed by it, sir. Wow, knee hugging in the cold darkness of a sunny afternoon. Just really writer's jealousy on that line, too. Brilliant, brilliant writing. Racky's Horror, your thoughts on this amazing work?
It's almost like he's talking to a blind guy. I mean, you know, you're talking about the vividness of the imagery, so I can almost see what he's talking about, but it kind of takes you on a little adventure on garage sales and straight parts and stuff. I'm trying to get, you know, the ear next to the aluminum siding and that kind of thing, and then the mattress. So I'm getting all kinds of flashes of stuff that you know, obviously if I saw the picture, it'd probably make a lot more sense. But, you know, on their own, it's just a little disjointed for me. You know, I'm getting a lot of different thoughts and images, starting with the garage sale and you know, the steps and the mattress and the aluminum siding, a lot of craziness going on. But clearly, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's fabulous wording. Language is amazing.
Excellent piece.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's see, what should I do next? Okay, finish writing my comment. Need dead air going on.
That's okay.
See,
we don't want you to blow
yeah, you know.
Up. You know, you laugh too hard, you blow a valve, and then you're back in surgery again.
I know.
Steven's not good for your health. Don't read Steven.
Steven,
he comes to the Surgeon General.
He's scaring the hell out of me. He's making me laugh. He's making me cry. Between him and Kay, they're an emotional roller coaster. They are just amazing poets. They're supportive. They're fun. They're really good. They're good people here. So
Poetic slice of life.
And if you don't know them, well, you should get to know them. They're on Poetic Slice of Life, another great group here on All Poetry. And they have their own radio show, great shows throughout the week. Look them up, blah, blah, blah. And after this commercial break, we'll return to Sweet Discussions. here we go. Let's see. What's my next line? Good Lord. You know, it's been you and me for almost 45 minutes now. Nobody loves us tonight, but oh well, we're doing good.
We're having those discussions, so
we are having discussions. I have achieved my goal. All right. I got so many recordings tonight, though. Must be a night. Nobody can come out and play tonight. But oh well, that's okay.
You know, everybody signed confidentiality agreements. That's why they're not here.
I guess so. Don't go. Yeah, we all have one of those needs, I guess. Bonus DS. Hi, Frank. How are you? How about we put up your phone, Frankie Frank? I know you put me on. You know, I got a poem from Budo, too, and I'm very excited about that, too. So we're just going to listen. You know, go figure. I'm a poetry show. We should listen to poetry. Woo-hoo!
Who'd have thunk?
Oh, it's not a poem. Who would have thunk it? I have poetry for poetry's at a poetry show.
Madness,
right. It's madness. It's craziness. Oh, what would I do without this? All right. Let's do Mr. Picasso. All right.
Can I be frank with you?
No, you can't be frank with me. You must be, but I can talk. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Putting Mr. Frank on the board. Well, at least his poem anyway. And then we'll go in here and we'll hit play. And here we go. Frank is going. I promise he's going.
He's got a long lead.
He's coming. He's coming.
You are inside a puzzle box. If only your terrifying fears. The realm of the preternatural. Not a soul to help you escape. You are the wretched prisoner of my perverted game enjoyed. I am the sole master to pain, for I control your emotions. You sense my presence near, and you try to erase thoughts, driving you bloody insane when the silence is broken. I am hidden in your drear chamber, listening to the haunting screams as I play with your mind sadistically. You are my marionette on strings. You fight against your pleasures, suppressing the urge of submission into the power of my seduction. You are mesmerized by my voice. I whisper emerging from the shadows as your heart beats with excitement and your body yearns to feel my touch, covering you in a blood of crimson stains. Behold the Cenobite, every inch of my head tattooed with a harsh grid. And at intersections of horizontal and vertical axes, a jewel pin-driven through the marrow of bone, my vile tongue speaks with a fire of condemnation. The night is young and virginal, the hour of the dreadful Cenobites, when dreams become nightmares. And the boogeyman becomes real. Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. We have such sights to show you. We'll tear your soul apart. This isn't for your eyes. Oh, the suffering. I want to hear you confess. Are you bloody scared? Are you bloody scared?
Well, of course, I'm bloody scared. Absolutely. I'm always bloody scared with that laugh, Frank. I don't know how you do it, but that is the scariest laugh on the freaking radio. And I love the ending of this. When dreams become nightmare and the boogeyman becomes real, pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. We have such sights to show you. I mean, you described Pinhead to a T, and ugh. I want to hear you confess. Are you bloody scared? Look at him and listen to your voice. You couldn't be scared. another fabulous poem by Frank. Well, actually, like another stage play by Frank. You always bring it. You always have this amazing sense of, you know, what to say and how to say it. You are the voice actor of, you know, my shows when you want to be dark and sensual. That's who I bring in. And thank you for bringing this lovely piece representing Pinhead and Clive Barker. I really appreciate it. And Mr. Rockentor, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I kind of figured he was going to be writing for you tonight when I saw Clive Barker. You know, he always puts on a good production. My mind goes off on a million tangents. What if, you know, the old burger chain Jack in the Box was Pinhead's puzzle box? You pull up to the drive-thru and Frank's voice comes out through the speaker. Are you scared?
Oh my God! Can you see that little? Oh yeah.
That's an
crazy.
Excellent piece. Whoa.
Yes. And welcome Deb to the show. Deb, did you get a chance to say hello to Mr. Frank and his poem?
Yes, I sure did. And hello. I was just sitting here thinking it's, you know, obvious that why it's a multiple award winner there. He is one hell of a dramatic reader. It's like he just steps in there, and I think I've said this before, but he could be on those fireside radio shows and sitting there when there was no TV and entertain for hours with some of the stuff that he comes out with. And I like that you fight against your pleasures, suppressing the urge of submission, and to the power of my seduction, you are mesmerized by my voice. And it's, you know, it just seems like it's an excellent stanza for him because his dramatic reads and his voice and his accent all combined to make his poetry a real experience. Fun share.
Yes, it is. So the next one, Poetic Picasso. The next one I'm going to throw up, Deb, unless you have to read and run, was going to be Budo.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So let me get to Mr. Budo. I'm very excited to see Budo.
Grab a bud.
Grab a bud.
That can be taken many ways nowadays.
Especially where I live. I'm feeling this on my own again. We've been having fun with me doing everything on my own. It's been like, what is she doing? Oh, we don't know. That was just, you know, whatever she decides, she's doing it on her own. It's been fun. Sweet Pea Massacre, so. All right, now we've got him in there. Now I got to jump into the studio, and we'll hit play. Da, 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 da.
There wasn't a recording for Budo. I believe he needs a reader.
There. What? Ah, okay. Well, then
I'm double checking your board, but I did click on his poem to make sure. Yeah, no, I don't see anything
okay
added on his.
Well, Deb.
Sweet. Did you want me to read?
Unless
No.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read this. I'll read Budo, and then you can read Rock and Tour for me, because Rock needs a reader, too. Oh, no, Rock, you have a recording, don't you?
No, Rock, I was going to say, now you're confusing me, because I remember putting in one
never
for
mind
Rock for you.
Okay, no.
You have Greg, Rock, and I think a couple
yeah,
Stevens.
Yeah, and Steve. So, no, go ahead and read for Budo, then. I forgot Rock had a recording. Please.
Okay, darling, here we go. This is Eventide by Budo. embrace the solace and solitude and trace gravity's dusk. Pull into every fiber of being. A welcome gust of shadows, cloaking the light from healing. The vacuum held deep within as abandonment whispers breath into the hollows. There's no better time than now when twilight beckons the soul to relinquish. Release your inhibitions and come with me and pull.
Oh, man.
Delicious.
Yes. Wow. You know, the idea of this, you know, there's so many here because Clive Barker wrote Candyman. And that is what the whole premises of Candyman is, you know, to release and come with me. You know, whatever, and that's kind of my thought process. And it's also the same premise of Pinhead is just, there's just release, just come in, you know, whatever it is. Twilight beckons the soul to relinquish. Come to me. You know, just give it all to the darkness. Come, you know, don't worry about what you think is going to happen because it's all pleasure and pain. It just let it go, just come. And there's just this enticement into the darkness here. Like you can, I love a welcome gust of shadows cloaking the light from healing. I really love those two lines. A great bit, you know, there's a seduction into the darkness here. And I think it, you know, it basically says the last line, release your inhibitions. And come with me. And it's like you want to walk out of that light. That light is stress of perfection. And just once, you just want to crawl into the darkness and wallow in it. And no one's got that light on you that you have to be, you have to be, you have to be this perfect soul. And you can just roll in the mud and no one's going to be looking at you and point out all your flaws in the light. So I really kind of enjoy this seduction into the darkness. Very well done. And Rack, your thoughts.
And that last thing that you said about seduction into the darkness is exactly what I kind of latched onto, because if you take away the horror thought of it, there's a romanticism to it. You know, you're talking about getting rid of inhibitions and being embraced and all happy things that sound lovely on the surface out of context, which is, you know, something that you tend to do when you write. In the most delicious ways as well. And you almost don't expect it from Budo, because, you know, used to his peppy songs and everything else. It almost, I think he's intentionally not giving us that distraction so that we focus on his words and give him real comments on his poetry. This is really amazing, Budo. I like the duality of it. You know, there is the darkness, but it's also, you know, a matter of perspective. And there are, you know, obviously people that are seduced by the darkness and you know, outright welcome that the shadows, and then there's other people that lead into it thinking that it's something that it's not. So that thought and that opening is kind of wrapped in this for me. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, and Deb, your thoughts?
Well, for starters, it was my honor to be his reader. But like, wow, it's a really, really powerful brevity. And the one part there, the vacuum held deep within as abandonment whispers breaths into the hollows, is like a prompt for, you know, a poem. It's one of those bits and pieces that I wish I had wrote myself. His ending there with the pause in between come and with, it was really clever too. I think he did a great job with this.
Absolutely. Oh,
unleash your inhibition.
That is pretty cool. Let me go back here. We're good. Let me see. Oops, sorry guys. I've got one more thing to do. All right, so I am going to throw, if I do this right, maybe.
Use your left hand.
Ha! You're funny. I just screwed that up. And I didn't mean to. I'm sorry, guys. I really will get this together. Promise. Maybe not right away.
You're fine.
But I will.
You're fine.
I told you when I have to do everything. Oh, don't even go there.
Well, you actually don't. You could have just said, Deb, can you grab blah, blah, blah? And I would have done it gladly.
I know.
But I think you're doing a brilliant job, though. Just saying.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to pretend I know what I'm doing. Like,
you had me fooled.
Thank you.
Right? Me too.
I know. Thanks. Because, you know, I pretend I'm smarter than the average bear. But this is... Yay! My... And it is to my quotes. I wrote the same quote as Raconteur, I think. And that is, nothing else wounds us so deeply and irreparably. Nothing else robs us of hope so much as being unloved by one we love. I love that quote, by the way.
There were some really great choices.
Yeah. So this is in love and hate and love and gone. Born behind angry eyes. Burning fire bees, eyelashes dry. His mouth spewed hot volcanic lies. Limp kisses placed upon her skin. He smelled her perfume and cheap gin. Vomits love you, babe, and false grin. Morning phone calls and private text. All fake internet and scheme attempts. Begs him stop, he'll not repent. Insecurities paved her road. Internal bomb waiting to explode. Wandering in crystal ball commode. His voice cuts like rusty scissors, shears from her ears. The temptation to slit wrist appears. Run away, baby, his hold is strong. A strong mind to broken-hearted bond. Trust the path 13 inches to respond. The full moon lies, rise, the raging tides. The vision fades as decision expedites. Stop the insanity and heal from the snake bite. End quote.
Well, you know, there's so much emotion in this. I can't help but think, I hope tags, the disappointment, betrayal, things like that. But I want to say the idea of a grifter, they take advantage of the fact, and the quote from the X-Files, I want to believe. You know, you give your heart to someone and they tell you that they love you and you want to believe it. And all the red flags, all the lies, it's like, you know, it can't be because, you know, that he loves me. You know, if he loved me, he wouldn't say that. Wow. And I just love your metaphors. There's so much in this, so powerful. It aches at the same time. It bleeds. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Deb, what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's like it was gut-wrenching. The more you read, the more it tugged. insecurities paved her road, internal bomb waiting to explode, wandering in crystal ball commode. It's like, for one, that was like each line was a gut punch and an amazing rhyme thing going there, dear heart.
Thank you.
His voice cuts like the rusty scissor shears. Black blood trickles from his ears. The temptation to slit wrist appears. And that's like, oh, no. I mean, it was just like I said, the further you went, the more heartstrings it grabbed, tugged, kept us enthralled into what you were going to say next. It's like, Jesus. And then the end there, the vision fades as a decision expedites, stop the insanity and heal from the snake bites. Yeah, like, amen. Heal.
Yeah, and the line, the trust the path of 13 inches to respond, is a quote from my father. If you guys have ever heard that.
Yeah, that 13 inches.
Yeah. 13 inches is approximately the length from the tip of your head or your brain to the bottom of your heart. And the path is, if your heart and your brain do not agree, then something is bound to fail. Because you cannot make a true decision without your heart and your mind agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
And with my father being a preacher, he would always say that
yeah.
A lot of people miss the gates of heaven because they either believe in their hearts or they believe in their heads, but they don't follow through with their hearts. And love has to come from your heart, not from your mouth or your head. So it's the path of 13 inches.
Wow. It's a great piece.
So that's been on the path 13 inches because I've had people, like I put in another poem and people, they were like, well, what is the path of 13 inches? So that's just a weird personal thing.
That's not weird at all.
Yeah. That's weird.
No,
so
it's not.
If, yeah, it is. But Deb, if we want to play Rack, and then I think you will end the show.
Sounds like a plan, dear heart.
Yeah. I think that's all my poems. I double check everything. All right. Let me. Well, if you want to pull Rack, that would be great because I can push a button.
I am actually on my way to Voices with It right now. And
yeah, wonderful you are.
There it is. Okie dokie. There's that one. And right over here, just for their 1212, there's mine. Now you're all set. And push when you're ready, or did you ask me to?
No, I got it.
Cool. So sad
to fall in love by Raconteur. You ripped through my life like a clap of thunder, shook me up and left me asunder. A lit on my hand but a moment in time, then you were gone, disappeared, not a sign. Left me lost in thought, sweet memories of you, nothing left to say, nothing I could do. Never love another the way that I loved you, if only you'd decide to fall in love. I didn't find you, rather you found me, with a promise of how happy and close we could be. But now I stand lost, bereft of life, wounds still fresh from the cut of the knife. Bitter I sound, bitterness in me, crushed by the thought of how it could be. Do you know how to fall in love? Why won't you give in? It's not like it's a sin. All I want is you. To fall in love. Did I really treat you that bad? Did I ever make you that sad? Why don't you want to fall in love? God, help me to survive. I've lost my will to stay alive. If only you'd give in and fall in love. Thought I had you, never did, and probably never will. Just a free spirit, now freer still. Tried to catch you, your dreams fulfill. The fool I am, I never will. You really don't want to fall in love. Yours the desire, a need to be free. You want to be apart from me. Still, I think of you and smile with glee. I remember how things used to be. Together then, but you didn't see. I really thought you'd fallen for me. I'd hoped you'd fallen in love with me. End poem.
I hate this locker, I hate this locker, I hate this locker.
Right?
This locker, I tell you what. Somebody needs to take you and pull you out of it, and I'll beat the hell of the bully that ever put you in it. Because I tell you what, there's something about this thing. Why won't you give in? It's not like it's a sin. All I want is you to fall in love. God, help me to survive. I've lost my will to stay alive. If only you'd give in and fall in love. I really thought you'd fallen for me. I hope you've fallen in love with me. I just don't know how, you know, who would resist falling in love with you, Rack? All right, I'm there, you know, I'm there. You just feel you ache for this person. You would just, like, I'm right here, just fall in love with me. It's not hard. Just think it's beautiful. Yes.
Well, for starters, man, I'm with you as far as the Hurt Locker is one of those things that we hate to love because it's like it's really good and packed with amazing poetry, but it's a kick in the gut. It's like the pain of the what you thought was something amazing that wasn't at all, and the what was that one? I didn't find you, rather you found me with a promise of how happy and close we could be, but now I stand lost, bereft of life. It's like, geez. And with the bitter I sound, bitterness in me, crushed by the thought of how it could be. Do you know how to fall in love? Do you know how? I mean, it's like, geez, you really kick our asses with your locker rock and tour. If I'm not mistaken, when I was going through your poems to look for stuff that you had recorded to add to that folder, I was amazed. I've never looked at anyone's list of anything where practically every single poem on that list was on multiple lists of other people. It was incredible, and it's because your pen and your blood stream so well together.
Thanks, Tim.
Absolutely. All right, Deb, so before we go further, Team of Voices coming up tomorrow night is Crystal Hope with Open Poetry, if I am correct. And then we have Friday night, it's the boys, if that's right, if I'm right. And then Saturday, are you guys teaming up? I don't know what the prompt is Saturday.
I was going to say, we are off this week. AP's occupied, but I just thought I would mention that I thought somebody was going to toss a folder up for Rec, but he's doing the moral of the story on Thursday night.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
The moral of the story. Okay.
But that was multiple. Yeah, it
I will do it as soon as we're done here.
Okay. Okay, so Thursday night is Moral Story with Raconteur. Friday night, then, is The Boys. Saturday night is Night Off. And Sunday night will be Invitation Only. Halloween Fright Night. And then Monday night Halloween.
And then Halloween on
with
Monday.
You.
Yeah,
and
get your dark photos.
And Tuesday night will be Stephen King to round out the horror writers. Yeah. So that looks like we've got a fun week coming up next few days. That's
absolutely
gonna be great.
We've been kicking out shows for the last week that have been like, wow, one after another after another. I love it.
Yeah, this has been
happens.
A fun. Yeah, this has been a really fun series for me. I've had a really good time. And after we do Stephen King,
yeah,
I'm going to continue with a dedication show for Peter Straub because we actually just lost him 3 weeks ago. Peter Straub passed away 3 weeks ago, and he was such an incredible author that I'm going to do a tribute show for him, my second show in November. Outside of my horror writers, just because he deserves it. He passed away the first week of September this year. So it was just a few weeks ago. That's what I will be doing. So I will go to King and then a tribute show for Peter Straub. So why don't you end the show for me tonight with your brilliance for our beautiful Mr. Clive Barker.
I would love to, my dear, and I took the first quote, horror fiction shows us that control we believe we have is purely illusory and that every moment we teeter on chaos and oblivion, of course, by Clive Barker. And the poem is called Ripped Pieces. And warning, it's graphic, I guess, is the best way to put it. Here we go.
Nice.
With light peeking out from the darkness, goldenrod sunset hues dip in the horizon. Thick fog churns and moonbeams stalk me. The air holds chill from the breeze tonight. Then the skin grows cold and warm, salted teardrops spill. Weeping, camouflaged by shadows. Cupboards and pantry at home hold no groceries, and my stomach roars as I walk this street sniffing food that's cooking in the houses on the block. How do I climb from this dark slum if sleep cannot silence the nightmare fueling the world around me? I did not see him, but goosebumps ignite and those crawl as horror heightens and silence is broken by footsteps. Stomps grow louder, taps faster, closer. Screams stick in my throat from the lodged lump trapping my swallow. Feet speed up, pulse jackhammers in my ear driving me to run. Trip and fall, shredding my knees and skinning my elbows, leaving chunks of skin on the pavement with flesh bleeding and cascading down on the cobblestone street. Pebbles in bed and scraped flesh stinging as blood trickles down the shins, pushing myself to stand as he grips my arm. I fight the attack. He rips off my clothes, paws me, exploiting my body with his flesh and with sharp metal instruments, fighting. His giant fist clobbers me, eyes swell, fading in, then out. Passed out from the burning ache and now laying naked in the crimson puddle that oozed from scalpel gashes. My fight runs out with him sitting here with me, his breath echo loud and heartbeats pound. Striking and ripping, he swings, again, cutting my body apart, slashing my abdomen and gashing the ovaries, then lacerates my liver and spleen, then disembowels me, as the muffled whispers leave my lips. In one swoosh, he slits my throat, ear to ear, severing the jugular. Gasp, gurgle, drowning in the blood-red flow with my brain squealing, struggle, fight. But my body cannot move. Death hovers over me, then turning to the doorway, he scampers off. Mouth motions to yell, but no sound passes my lips. Hot, salted teardrops slip over bloodied, ash-white cheeks. Dying, cold, sobbing, alone, dead. Call me Victim Six. Jack the Ripper just killed me.
And oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, oh, my God. Holy, that was freaking awesome. Oh, my God, was that awesome. Oh, Deb, that was freaking awesome. Oh,
bedtime story.
Wow. Oh, wow. That was brilliant. Yeah, you wrote that 6 years ago. Holy crap. I've never heard this. This is freaking brilliant. Oh, top notch. One of my favorite horror stories you've ever written or I've ever heard you read. Best read ever. Totally in love with this. Oh, I'm so glad you brought this to me tonight. What a great way to end this show. What a top notch, great way to end this show. A great tribute to Clive Barker. Absolutely endearing. Stunning. I can't say enough about it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, wow. That just sent chills down my entire body. Oh, what a great perspective. Great perspective.
Wow.
Oh,
thank you so much. And
victim.
The thing is, I studied her. She is victim number six. And I tried to get some compassion for her. So, like, the fact that it went over so well, it makes me smile. And I must say, I loved your reaction. Thank you.
I mean, it's so empathetic. It's so, I mean, the way she's like begging for her own life internally. I mean, the empathy, the sadness, feel every ounce of pain, the way she tried to struggle off the cobblestone, the blood, like the sidewalk is weeping her fear. I mean, it was just brilliantly done. I just, oh, stunning work. Just absolutely stunning work. I mean,
high praise coming from my queen of darkness. Thank you.
Wow. Rack, your thoughts?
Bloody mess. Wow, they didn't Jack the Ripper, huh? I mean, from beginning to end, he picks you apart and cuts you to ribbons, and yeah,
I didn't know, it's sobering. It really is, because as I said, I studied those are this woman's details.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're getting. I mean, my attempt at a dramatic read, but really, it was like I said, it was my soapbox way of grabbing compassion for her because you know, brutal.
It's brilliant. All right, just brilliant. I got to say, that's the best ever. Oh, wow. All right. Well, that just is great, I got to tell you. Definitely going to be on my list of every amazing thing she's ever done. So that concludes my beautiful tribute to Clive Barker in my horror writer series. I hope you guys have a fabulous rest of your night. I hope things are wonderful. Thank everybody out there listening once again. You know, all poetry, team of voices, great group of people, love poetry. This has been Sweet Discussions. Come by anytime. Look up Team of Voices. We've got a lot of shows every day of the week, a lot of things inside our group.
come on by. Love and respect, everybody. Have a great night.
Good night, sweet.
You too, sweet.
Good night, Debs.
Night, Rack.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.